We know the story of Job's life, and of course the great patience that he had in dealing with adversity. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you are fans of adversity? How many of you like adversity? Nobody. Nobody likes adversity. Nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes bad to happen to us. But it is a reality, just as it was in the life of Job. But there's one thing that we can learn from the life of Job, is that God can use adversity for our good, and of course for His glory. The title of tonight's message is, Can Anything Good Come Out of Adversity? Can anything good come out of adversity? You find your place there in Job chapter number 2. We know in chapter 1 that Job basically lost everything that was near and dear to his heart. We know, of course, he lost all of his herds and flocks. Every personal possession in which Job had, he lost. It was taken from him. God allowed Satan to attack him. And remember this, God allowed Satan to attack him for the testing of Job's faith. And so we find there that he lost again everything that he had, every possession that he had. And then, of course, he lost 10 of his children, which he only had 10 children at the time, but he lost all 10 of his children. Such a tragic day, such adversity in his life. What did Job learn from it? Job was able to say there in chapter 1, verse 21, that naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. But notice what he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He was still able to rejoice in great tragedy, in trouble, and terrible adversity that he went through. Then, of course, we know that God allowed Satan to test Job once again in chapter number 2, and we find here that he begins to afflict his body. He begins to afflict his body with the sore boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. No doubt it was very painful. It was very uncomfortable for him to exist in this particular condition. But we find there that he had survived all these things, and then we come to chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and this is where his wife begins to also afflict him by some of the comments that she says. So let's stand with me tonight as we honor God's Word. I'd like to read these two verses, verse 9 and 10, and we see Job's response to the second testing of his faith through adversity. Verse 9 says, Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Notice what Job's response to that statement was. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And notice what he said, Shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. There he talks about good and at the good of God. We could dwell tonight for the remainder of our time together tonight on the goodness of God and how good God is to us. But in reality, do we have bad that happens as well? There's a lot of tragedy that goes on in the world today. I was startled, if you want to call it that, by the hearing of a tragic thing that happened today where someone supposedly, not sure of, but they suspect that there was one that took his life. Had a beautiful family, a wonderful family, but yet he took his life. And you begin to wonder over the years, sadly say, I've known of several men over the years that have taken their life for various reasons. I don't know exactly what they were, but for various reasons. Maybe they could not face the adversity that was in their life or the trouble that they were about to experience in their life. It became overwhelming for them, and rather than to face the reality of it and allow God to turn bad into good, then we find there that they were willing to give up on it all. But tonight we want to consider the thought, can anything good come out of adversity? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you once again for your word. Bless the message, we pray tonight. Use it for your glory. Use it for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Job said a number of different times throughout the book of Job, dealing with trouble. He said there, Job chapter 14, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We know that he goes on to say in the same book there, describing the trouble in his life, that trouble flies upward like the sparks. We look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and there's no doubt that he faced many challenges in his life and had many adverse conditions that he experienced and went through and overcame and was victorious through them. As he describes some of those mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he starts out there in verse number 8 by saying, we are troubled on every side. What was the Apostle Paul saying? Paul said, everywhere we turn, there is trouble. Now, if you read there in the book of Acts, after his day of salvation and his day of deliverance on the road to Damascus, we find from there following, throughout the remainder of his life, it was plagued with adversity. It was plagued with trouble. We read of some of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but also in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, when he talks about the perils that he faced, the perils of all the various things that he encountered in life, the times that he was shipwrecked, the times that he was stoned and left for dead, and all the various things that he went through. But he said there, we're troubled, but we are not distressed. In other words, we're not ready to give up. We are not ready to give up. I'm thankful for this verse found in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10. Listen to what Solomon says here when he says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, what does he say? He said, thy strength is small. In other words, if we faint, if we give up in the day of trouble, when bad things happen to us, if we throw in the towels and throw up our hands of surrender in those times, there's not very much to us. That's what the Bible's saying. Where there's not much strength in our life. There's not much character in our lives. There's not much faith in our lives when we give that. See, the secret to greatness from a spiritual standpoint is how you and I deal with adversity. Now, how do some people deal with adversity? First of all, some people deal with it with grumbling. They like to grumble. They like to complain. Others gripe, others growl, some grieve. But what God wants us to do, He wants us to grow from adversity. He wants to use that in our life to bring us to a place of spiritual maturity in the Lord. We should allow the troubles in our lives to be lessons that help us grow spiritually closer to the Lord and also to one another. In fact, one writer said that adversity should be stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks in our lives. But sad to say, for many of us, they become stumbling blocks. We begin, like the Israelites and like others, when we begin to face the trials of and the testings of our faith, that we begin to murmur and we begin to complain rather than to praise God and rather than to put it into the hands of Almighty God. One of the chapel sayings of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. many years ago, he said these words. He said, the doors of success swing open on the hinges of opposition. In other words, spiritual success in our life is made possible, of course, we know, by obeying the Word of God, according to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, but also by overcoming adversity in our life or dealing with it in a positive manner. You know, trouble is nothing new to God's people. We can look, as I mentioned there, the Israelites. I mentioned them briefly this morning. After 400 years of Egyptian bondage there, God delivered them from their troubles and the trials of their life. But notice how they dealt with it. They didn't deal with it very good because they murmured and complained against God and against Moses. Now, on the other hand, look at the life of Joseph. Joseph's life was plagued by adversity, was plagued by trouble. But yet we find there that everything that Joseph went through throughout his life, can you imagine being forsaken by your own family? Can you imagine your own siblings taking you and throwing you into a pit? Can you imagine your own siblings taking you and selling you into bondage? And then from there we find him going falsely accused at Potiphar's house, forgotten in the prison house, and then he finds himself down in Egypt many years later. But God turned the adversity in Joseph's life into what? Into good. Because we see that when he was finally reunited to his brothers and he exposed himself to his brothers and revealed that he was their brother Joseph, what did he say unto them? He said, you may have meant it for evil, but what? God meant it for good. So can we think about that? Can anything good come out of adversity? Look at the life of Daniel. Daniel was another one whom his faith was tested. The Bible said Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king or a portion of the king's wine, meat or the wine in which they would drink. He refused to be brought into that. The trying of his faith, the difficulty of his life, the bondage that he experienced, Daniel stood the test and passed the test with flying colors. So it was for the three Hebrew children. So it was for the Apostle Paul, for Peter, and the Apostle John, and many others down that the Bible mentions there, which many of them are mentioned are in the halls of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, that overcame. What are some of the benefits of enduring adversity in our lives? What are they? Well, let me share just a few tonight that will, I believe, where we can literally see where God can use bad things in our life to bring about good. To bring about good. When we think about adversity, adversity in our life has the tendency to unify. In other words, to bring people together. Think about over and realize this, that it can also, if we're not careful, if we do not trust in God, if we don't keep our eyes upon the Lord, it can also separate. It can divide if we allow it. I've known of people over the years that say they've had the tragedy, in one particular instance, the tragedy of a loss of a child. And from the loss of that child, you would think that would strengthen the bond of a husband and wife and their dependency upon one another and their dependency upon God. But I've found in some cases there, when a husband and wife would lose a child, then it wouldn't be long that there would be problems in the marriage, and then that marriage would be dissolved on top of that. God doesn't want that to happen in our life when tragedy strikes. God wants us to use the bad in our life, and He wants to turn it around for our good and for His glory. But in most cases, adversity has the tendency to unify. It brings families together. It brings friends together. And in many instances, when churches go through difficulties and trials and adverse conditions, it's a time that draws them together. Just like a nation. We remember back several years ago, back in the Gulf War, back in the early 90s, and how all of that, and then the tragedy of 9/11, and where it literally for a while it began to unify our nation, began to unify our country, and draw us back together with one another. But again, look at here in the recent days and in the recent months and in the last few years and everything that has gone on and the troubles and the adverse conditions that our nation has experienced. What has it done? It hasn't drawn us together. But in many cases, it has pushed us further and further away. But God wants to use the adversity in our lives to unify us and to bring us together. Listen to what the psalmist David said in Psalms 119, verse 67. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." David was talking about the chastisement of God upon his life after his sin with Bathsheba, which was a bad thing, by the way. And no doubt that the chastening hand of God for the present time, I assure you, is not pleasant. But God used that in his life to make David stronger and to draw him closer unto the Lord. That's one of the things that we should learn is that when we do go astray and when we do backslide on God and we do things that we ought not to do, when we come back, we ought to come back stronger and more unified and closer to the Lord than ever before. So we find there that adversity unifies. Then second of all, we see that adversity, it lets us see the work of God in our lives. It allows us to see God up close and personal, working in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I'm going to tell you, temptation can be an adverse happening in our lives. It can be adverse conditions when Satan brings that temptation before our eyes and before our lives. But the Lord reminds us that it's common to man. But he goes on to say, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So we find there it allows us to see God up close and personal and see him at work in our lives when adversity comes our way. You know, every one of us have some type of trouble in our lives. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 27 in verse number 5. He said, "In times of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." It's at those times in our life, those great times of adversity and trouble and anguish and sorrow and grief and the testing of our faith, that God gets up close and personal and allows us to see him very near and dear to our heart. Then we find, thirdly, that adversity deepens our spirituality. It deepens our spirituality. When we are tried, when the testing of our faith comes about, it makes us stronger. Makes us stronger. Realize today that Job came back a stronger individual. Daniel came back a stronger individual. Joseph came back a stronger individual. John the Baptist came back a stronger individual. John the Apostle came back a stronger individual. Why? Because of the trouble and the adversity that they went through. Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says this, tribulation does what? It works patience. One writer said this, "The graduation degree of spirituality comes from attending the university of hard knocks. It's the difficult times that strengthens us." That's why Paul challenges young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 3 when he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's why James writes in James chapter 1 in verse number 2, "Brethren, count it all joy, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience." He goes on to say, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect." That means spiritually mature and entire, wanting absolutely nothing. So we find there that adversity deepens our spirituality and strengthens us that we can do greater things for Almighty God. We find a fourth thing where good literally comes out of bad, and we see that adversity produces reality in our life. In other words, there's a shock effect to it. It wakes us up to reality. To reality. As I've already quoted there in the book of Job, man that is born of woman is what? A few days and full of trouble. If I ask around here tonight, how many of you, have you got trouble? Some of you would say, yeah, preacher, I've got trouble. Some may have trouble at work. Some may have trouble at home. Some may have trouble here at church. Some may have trouble in various locations or with different people. But every one of us are experiencing some type of trouble. It may be financial trouble. It may be marital trouble. It may be health trouble. But every one of us experience various types of trouble in our life that is a reminder that that's what reality is. That's a part of the curse. That's a part of the curse. Folks, I'm going to tell you, as long as we live in this life, on this side of eternity, on this side of heaven, we are going to have trouble. We are going to have adversity in our lives. And that's what God wants to do. God wants us to wake up to see that this is what life really is. But what God can do, just like we quote so often, Romans 8:28. And we know that what? All things. And what he says, all things, he means all things. Good or bad. And we know that all things does what? Works together for good to them who are the called, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So we find there that God uses adversity to produce reality in our lives. So we find there the next of all, that adversity furthers the cause of Jesus Christ. In other words, let's look at this in the book of Philippians. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Adversity in our lives furthers the cause of Christ. Beginning in verse number 8, Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, for God is my record how greatly I long after you in all bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me. Now, what's Paul talking about? Paul's talking about all the troubles, all the adversity that he had gone through. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto what? The furtherance of the gospel. Paul was saying, everything that's happened to me that was bad, God has turned it around and used it for his glory. He used it for the furtherance of the gospel. My beating, my time in prison, my time being stoned and left for dead, my time being shipwrecked, my times going through storms in my life. God used that as a means of furthering the gospel message. And that's what I'm saying tonight. That through our personal testimony and our lives lived for Jesus and our strong faith in times of adversity, it can be a furtherance of the gospel to get the gospel message out to those who otherwise may not receive it. Then we find that adversity produces a crown in our life. James chapter 1 verse 12 said, he reminds us, blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. Adversity. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Then, of course, last but not least, we see that adversity glorifies God when we come forth and shine as gold. I quoted it last week. Brother Ron used it this morning in Sunday school. But Job said there in chapter 23, in verse number 10, Job said that the Lord knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. I remember, I think Donna, she's probably still got the book, but it was written by Pastor Vaughn, I believe it was, in South Carolina, that his wife was burned tragically in a fire. And he wrote the book, I Shall Come Forth as Gold, and how God used that tragedy. She was severely burned and scarred from a house fire that she was in. And, you know, her life and her body was never the same. And some people say, oh, how terrible that is. But yet that bad, that adversity, that trouble that they had gone through, that they experienced, God used it to glorify Himself and used it to strengthen them and to draw them closer to God. So it was in the life of the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he was met with the messenger of Satan and he was inflicted with a thorn in the flesh and he prayed out to God and sought the Lord that he might remove that thorn the three times. And what did God say? God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's why Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice or glory in my infirmity. What? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. In our life, when we come forth as gold, what does it do? It glorifies God. I've said before many times that God uses His most choice of servants to suffer for Him. To suffer for Him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, he reminds us there of the suffering that we go through. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I don't like adversity. And in all reality, Job didn't like it either. But Job responded correctly the way you and I should respond to those adverse conditions. And remember, when we do, we respond. It's for our good, and it also glorifies God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 reminds us of our light. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Sometimes tragedies and adversity in our lives glorifies God. Glorifies God. Look at the death of Lazarus. God used that to glorify Himself. You say, preacher, use the death of a man, use the death of Lazarus to glorify Himself? Yes, He did. Because what did the Lord do? The Lord showed Himself mighty and strong and resurrected him back to life again. God will use the most tragic situations in our life for our good if we'll allow Him to do it. And we too can come forth as gold. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll give you a moment. God's spoken to your heart. You have a need to pray tonight. We invite you to come. As always, the altar's open to whosoever will tonight. I hope and pray tonight that you know Christ as your personal Savior. You're ready to meet the Lord. And if not, tonight can be the night of your salvation. God can turn things around in your life. God can even turn the tragedies into triumph if you'll allow Him. You know, the Bible reminds us before we pray and the invitation, some have already begun coming. You come right ahead if God speaks to your heart. The altar's already open. But the Bible reminds us in Psalms 34, verse 15, that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth them. And what does He do? The Bible said He delivers them out of all their trouble. Now remember, Enoch was delivered before the trouble to come. That was the flood. That was the great day of God's wrath and destruction upon this earth. Enoch was delivered before the flood. The Bible tells us that. Noah, what did he? God delivered him through the flood. Noah had to go through adversity. But what did God do? God delivered him. Remember this, you may and I may have to go through those adverse times, but remember this, God makes a way of deliverance. God makes a way for us to get through it. That's why we have to trust Him and obey Him as Noah did if we go through them. Praise be unto God for the victory. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Praise You, Lord, for Your good word. Thank You for the help that we have in adversity. Lord, may we learn from these lessons, I pray. Bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
680.
Think about that song written by Ron Hamilton. The tragedy of that he went through with the cancer and losing his eye. You know, that would be terrible for most people to lose a sight like that. But what did he do and what did God do in his life? From there, Patch the Pirate was born. Because of that tragedy of losing his eye, Patch the Pirate was born, and there's no telling how many thousands of young people and children have come to Christ because of that ministry of Patch the Pirate over the years. Had it not been for that adversity in his life and losing that eye. See how God turned bad to good? And there's story after story of people just like that all over. God can use the tragedies in our life for our good and for His glory. I remember one person saying one time, he said, when life delivers you lemons, just make some lemonade. Amen? Just make some lemonade. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's face our adversities with strength, courage, and with faith this week. Amen? Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Brother Herman, if you will, dismiss us in prayer.